Serial Entrepreneur.
Hello and welcome back to the Serial Entrepreneur podcast, brought to you by Startups Magazine. I'm joined today by my lovely guest, Oliver Prill, the CEO of Tide, a fintech that really truly puts small businesses first. Oliver, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Looking forward to our chat.
Very much so myself. Before we dive into the ins and outs of yourself and Tide, as it is called the Serial Entrepreneur podcast, we have to ask every guest, it's only fair, what is your favourite breakfast cereal and why?
Yeah, so actually I don't eat cereal. So, but I do what I do love is having a croissant and a coffee. And actually what I really like doing in the morning is when I have the time, should you go outside and sort of have my coffee and croissant in, you know, looking, enjoying the weather, right? So this is the exact weather at the moment. It's just fantastic. Spending a couple of minutes outside, having the croissant, the coffee, that sets me off to a really great day.
Oh, it sounds beautiful. It sounds so European as well. Have you previously lived in Europe, somewhere a bit more glamorous than London, maybe?
Yeah. So I'm German by background. Now, I wouldn't recommend German croissants necessarily. I think the French are much better at that. So I'm not sure when I started drinking that. But, a croissant with some nice espresso in the morning is something that really gets me going.
Oh, lovely. It does sound like a croissant is an elite breakfast. So, I have to agree with you on that one. Perfect. Well, I guess kind of to start the conversation off, I'm sure most people have heard of Tide, but maybe for those few, or maybe just to kind of like refresh people's memory, tell us a little bit more about Tide and what you guys do.
Yeah, so Tide, really, the way to think of Tide is Tide tries to help businesses to save time in their finance and admin, right? So we do anything that a business owner would call finance and admin. I can tell you a little bit how we do that in a moment, but just to say, you know, we've been actually helping a lot of businesses. So we have over 6.5% market share, almost 400,000 businesses, nearly 400,000 businesses are with us. So I think last time counting, something like 375,000. So we serve a lot of businesses. And the way we do that is we offer them, you know, a Tide current account where everything connects very seamlessly, right? So the time saving really comes by, let me give you an example, right? You can write an invoice on the Tide platform, then you immediately get the option to activate chasing. So if the money doesn't come on time, it gets auto-chased. You can factor it if you want to. When the money actually then does come in, because it's connected to the account, the system recognizes that, takes the invoice, attaches it to the transaction, pushes all of that into your accounting system. So very practical help of making all these finance and admin tools work together, because I'm pretty sure, you know, serial entrepreneurs listening, that's really what takes the time, right? The Sunday afternoon doing the expenses and preparing stuff for the accountant, all of that is history when you use Tide.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, it's one of the areas where with a founder or a business, it's something that's 100% needed, you know, your finances and your banking and everything, but it's, like, no one enjoys it, do they? Like, they probably do when it's more enjoyable with Tide, but it, like you say, it's definitely a job that no one looks forward to doing and that necessarily excites people. So I think platforms and solutions like yourself that can kind of make it easier, even in the smallest of ways or, you know, long term, I think are going to be literally lifesavers for businesses.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think except for accountants, we do have a lot of accountants on the platform. But, you know, except for them, no one has gone into business for finance and admin, right? I think that's an absolute truism. Many people actually, because they may have had, you know, a job that hadn't exposed them to finance and admin before, actually find it quite hard. So even easy tasks don't come naturally. And of course, people want to get on with running their business, right? They don't really want to spend time on finance and admin. Yet when you run a business, you can't get away from it. You have to do your taxes, you have to do your accounting, you have to do your invoice, your payroll, all of these things. They just come with the territory. And so you're completely right. That's what we try to do. We try to take that burden away from people. What's worth remembering, and I'm sure everyone listens here will realize this, is people always think of, you know, when they think of SMEs as like a mid-sized business that has a small finance team and so on. That is just not true, right? Over 95% of small businesses basically don't have anyone formally looking after finance, right? So it's really either the owner, or sometimes they've got a sort of trusted lieutenant, but they do other things, right? They do the hiring, they do the, you know, the staffing, the purchasing and so on. And so every time they waste time on finance and admin, it's sort of time lost, right? And in moving their business forward. So that's what we really try to solve.
Definitely. I think it's, yeah, super useful and, you know, super needed, like we've just said, in the industry. So taking it back, I know you personally joined the company in 2018, but where did the idea originally come from? When was Tide first created?
Yeah, so Tide actually, you know, I joined, had the pleasure of joining, you know, quite early on. So we had less than 20,000 members. We called the business of the Join Tide members. It was founded by a chap called George Beavis, brilliant chap, who basically is a serial entrepreneur himself. And so he really started out because he knew all the pain points. But also because he'd done it before, he said he's not really the person. It started scaling very rapidly. And so, you know, he turned to me and, you know, really my role was to scale it up. So I really took it from the 20,000 to, you know, almost the 400,000 we've got now. And, you know, you can just see the amount of growth within 3 years, you know, that the model must be, you know, quite successful in terms of helping people. So that's really my history. So I've been there and I was just very, very attracted by the proposition, you know, the idea that George had. And I firmly believe in it. So my background is sort of over 25 years in financial services, from McKinsey to my shame, I guess, now Royal Bank of Scotland, you know, built and sold a bank in Germany and, you know, various bits always in financial services. And I always felt that small businesses were not really well served by banks. I think, you know, sometimes it did go down to what, you know, what the press and the politicians like to say about the evilness of banks towards small business. But often it's actually not the evilness. It's just the systems, their processes just don't cater for it. And, you know, a bank will always then gravitate to larger businesses where they can make more money. And, you know, Tide always set out, we are there for the micro entrepreneur. We don't do anything else. We don't do consumer. We don't do really large corporates. So we really focus on the segment and try to solve their problem.
Yeah, and that's amazing. And I think when you focus on one group, you know, there are the banks out there for the consumers. There are the banks out there for the bigger corporations. The smaller businesses, the startups, the SMEs, they sometimes do get forgotten. So the fact that obviously you guys have tailored yourselves for them, I think is obviously fantastic. And that's obviously why Tide has done so amazing. You said then you've scaled the business in the past 3 years from 20,000 to 400,000. That's incredible. How did you achieve that growth? Like what, yeah, how has the business scaled over the past 3 years?
Yeah, so, you know, I think that that's probably not an easy answer, right? Start with the market, right? So first of all, we realized very early on that this was a winner, right? I mean, people really don't want to do their finance and admin. I think you said it in the beginning, and you just need to solve for it. And what happens is then you have a bit of a flywheel. Right. People start talking about it, they refer you, Tide gets seen everywhere, etc. So we, you know, through this whole mechanism, we have a lot of referrals. We now have brand awareness in the SME sector of 43%. And so a flywheel starts, you know, running, right, on the go-to-market side. At the same time, you know, been working relentlessly on the product and always focusing on making things work seamlessly together. So, for example, we're just launching acquiring, so this is accepting card payments. And our first thing, the way we launch it, is not as a standalone product, but we actually link it to the invoice. So you can actually then send with your invoice, you know, we send out thousands of invoices a day, or our members are sending out thousands of invoices a day, you will be able to attach a payment link. So we make everything work seamlessly together and naturally. And that has sort of on the product side really reinforced the proposition. So this go-to-market, this increasing awareness, ever better product propositions. And then finally, you know, in a way with these models, success breeds success. So by having been able to show that this works for a lot of members and being able to deliver the product, we've been able to raise a lot of money, which again allowed us in turn, right, to spend more on marketing, more on product development. So you have this sort of reinforcing loop, right? There's this sort of flywheel that starts to happen. And we see that, you know, really, really strongly.
Oh, amazing. And I mean, you said obviously coming up with like new and innovative and, you know, helpful products and solutions that you can like add on to just the standard features of a business bank is one of the reasons. And you mentioned a few at the beginning. Are there any certain products or add-ons that you guys offer small businesses that have been most successful or that you see are most popular? Or
yeah, so I think there are many ways of using Tide, and I think that's one of the strengths, right? So small business is not one sector. It depends a lot on which part of the SME universe you're in. But let's take an example, right, of, you know, the one that I've given on the invoices. So if you are there and you, but invoices are really relevant for people that are in the B2B business, maybe the odd restaurant and so on writing an invoice, but they're making all of that work seamlessly. Because in the end, if you think about it, the business owner doesn't actually want to write an invoice, right? What they really want is write the invoice and receive the cash. And so we solve this entire, you know, chain. And that is sort of a really interesting sort of set of connections around expense management. So often when you have small business, right, you have an employee or someone that works for you that needs to do some of your purchasing. Could be a truck driver that needs to be able to buy fuel, right? Or you have a shop and there's some supplies you need to buy. And in the old days, right, you would give them cash or reimburse cash. Now we have got expense cards. So, you know, you can basically give your employee, you can set a limit. You can even limit, what they can spend the money on. They can themselves upload the receipts. All of that goes through. You can authorize it. It goes into your accounting system. So, again, solves a whole set of problems around expense management, et cetera, right? We make sure that the account, another really important use case is how the account in general, so the bank account works with the accounting system. So we integrate it to all the leading accounting softwares and it just automatically pushes everything through, including, you know, receipts, invoices, et cetera. So your accountant actually has all the data they need to do it, or if you do your accounting yourself to process it straight through. So there are many, many parts, but we always focus on making these products work seamlessly together, right? So because we've learned in the end, what does it help you, right, to have a great invoicing product, right? If you don't know whether the money actually comes in and it doesn't chase, right, and it doesn't push it to your accounting system. So that's why we relentlessly focus on making all of these things work together, in a seamless fashion.
Amazing. And you said also there's like different sectors or different industries that obviously need like different requirements or different solutions. Invoicing obviously was your example. Do you have one or a particular industry that is most popular? Like you see a lot of businesses within the X or the Y industry. And yeah, is there any kind of upcoming industries that are kind of looking more to Tide and business banking?
Yeah, and this is a really good question. And I have to say, when we were smaller, we were actually thinking, oh, should we just do the architects, you know, the consultants, the IT consultants and so on. The problem really from that perspective, this is sort of 3 years back, we realized these sectors are actually not that large, right? So if you think about it, there are only, 100,000 or so accountants in the country and things get quite small. And therefore, it is actually quite hard in a country like the UK to just focus on a sector if you want to achieve a certain scale. And that's why we've said is, look, we really need to make sure this platform works for everyone that doesn't have a formalized finance function. That's the target segment. So it is quite broad. And that's why we need to cater for the diversity. And that's why we don't allow consumers, we don't do corporates, but we try to cater for the diversity. Now, to answer your question, if you look at most metrics, most distributions, we are geographically effectively the United Kingdom. We're a little bit underrepresented in Northern Ireland, clearly London heavy, but that's the UK. Industry, we're really across the industries, sectors. We are a little bit less on the cash heavy piece. So if you were in stationary retail or leisure, effectively, the proposition, at least pre-COVID, has really been, let's use the branch next door because that's where I can deposit my cash. So we were always a bit underrepresented. That actually has changed during COVID. And even though you can deposit money through the post office, the branch seemed to have been, almost that. So there again, pretty much the UK economy. And then we are really at the smaller end, right? But as we said before, the smaller end in, in the SMEs is 95%. So we do have some larger businesses, mid-sized businesses, but they tend to be few and far between. We're really in the micro business. So few employees, less than a million turnover in these sorts of businesses.
Thinking of starting a business or run a business currently? Well, check out the top 50 podcasts for entrepreneurialism, Success is in the Mind, available on Apple Podcasts, your smart speaker, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Hear from entrepreneurs who are currently forging their way ahead and making their ideal a reality. From startups to billion-pound enterprises, host Oliver Bruce speaks weekly to inspiring entrepreneurs.
And do you have certain kind of like criteria, or for example, like, do you work with really early stage businesses, or do they have to be, have been going for so many years, or have to have a certain amount of turnover?
No. So we allow everyone on. We have certain industries that we don't do, like, you know, weapons trade, you know, gambling and so on, that we just feel, you know, we don't really, for various ethical reasons, want to support. But bar those a few industries that we cannot handle, it can really be everyone. There are also some restrictions on foreign ownership and so on, where things just get very difficult. So if you have a US holding company, et cetera. But you know, these are very few restrictions. So essentially, it's mainly for all businesses. What one has to realize, most of the businesses that when they select their banking provider, they do that when they're new to market, right? So they, you know, established businesses rarely switch. And so a lot of our businesses, when they join us, not the whole, because then they grow with us, but when they join us, actually new to market. And we support them in many ways. So for example, when you open an account as a starting out, coming back to the connectivity, you can actually at the same time register your company with Tide. So 1 in 20 companies in the UK gets opened through Tide, right? Just to give you the scale. So, you know, we always try to help solve the problem that you have at that time, right? And so you can now also, when you register, not only open the bank account, you can register your business, you can register your VAT, you can do all of these services, you can get your virtual office address. Again, all in mind, right? No one goes into business, as you said earlier, to do the finance admin. They want to get their, you know, their barbershop running, their restaurant open, you know, that sort of thing. And they, you know, if you can actually help them getting their finance and admin sorted, you know, that's helpful. And so we focus very strongly on what we call the starting out. And then, you know, soon we will allow people. So at the moment, to operate the Tide platform, you need to have a Tide current account, which, you know, is a ClearBank white labeled product. However, we will from next quarter onwards start allowing you to connect your existing bank account. So if you're with HSBC, Barclays, Royal Bank, or whoever you are with, you can connect that then through open banking into the Tide platform. So you don't no longer have to switch, and then you can use all the, you know, you can start using the features we offer, right? So invoicing, expense management, etc. Because we just realized established businesses find it very, very hard to switch. You know, it's a market phenomena, and so for them, you can then switch without switching, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Oh, it's really interesting that obviously you kind of offer different layers of, you know, support and services, as well as the traditional like banking side of things with the, you know, registering your company. Are there any other kind of like support or help kind of features that you offer smaller businesses?
Yeah, so we always try to stay in finance and admin, because, you know, we don't really think we know how to tell a restaurateur how to run the restaurant better, right? Or, you know, or the IT consultant better, you know, to generate business. So we try to shy away from that. But within the finance and admin space, we try to be as comprehensive as we can, right? So maybe another sort of interesting highlight is on the Tide platform, you don't only find Tide label products, but we also allow partner label products. So I just gave the example that we have the Tide label current account, but we will allow partner label coming in. On accounting, we're connected to all the leading accounting software providers. We are launching a Tide label accounting, very simple accounting tool for the small entrepreneur in the next couple of months. And also, and this is maybe the answer to your question, we've also just launched a Tide professional network. So what we had from member feedback was that people said, it's great that we have all these products, but I also need to find my accountant. Right? I don't even have an accountant. You always assume you have an accountant. How can I find an accountant? And so we actually we've just piloted that. You can actually find your accountant on Tide. We call this the Tide Professional Network. So you can find accountants, payroll providers, you know, debt collection agencies for your invoices. If that doesn't work, you can find them all on Tide through this professional network.
Wow, that's so amazing. Obviously, that I guess competitors of yours are like the bigger banks that want to tie the smaller businesses in, or, you know, we've said that you guys like focus primarily on the smaller businesses, the SMEs. How do you kind of stay competitive to these other bigger banks or other businesses that are kind of trying to draw the small businesses in as well?
Yeah, so I think that's a really good question. So the first one is sort of, as you say, like, who is actually the competitor, right? Often we differentiate between competitor and comparables, right? So competitor to us is really someone that you would go to if you didn't go to Tide, right? So people that would be alternatives, and they're really the big five banks, right? So other fintechs are not really, they're comparables, right? So we get compared in features and that sort of thing, but you know, we don't really lose any members to any other fintechs, and nor do the members that come to us really come from other fintechs. It's really the big banks, because just the way the market is dominated. So against them, the real differentiator is that we, as you quite rightly said, we're not only in the banking space, we really do all the finance and admin, right? So for us, it's not about, you know, you can link something loosely to some software. We actually solve the whole thing end to end for you. And then once you have that service, we have very, very few people leaving Tide, right? And the reason for that is once you have all of this thing set up, you know, working seamlessly together, there's really very little reason to move over. And so to answer your question, because that's the core of the proposition, we believe we stay competitive, relentlessly investing into this. And, you know, there are a lot of these connection chains, right, that run through small businesses. So there's a lot of still to be done. We always said we are only 20% done. We're probably the market leader in the UK when it comes to solving finance and admin problems for small businesses. However, you know, we think we're only 20% where we want to be, just to give you the scale of what we still think is possible.
That's amazing. And I mean, it's amazing to see how much you guys have grown in such a short space of time anyways. And then, you know, even further plans. What would you say some of the biggest challenges for Tide have been to get you where you are today?
Yeah, so actually for us, the biggest challenge is just the challenges of growth, right? So any sort of serial entrepreneur that's sort of on the line will recognize, right? Once you've sort of cracked the market side, it is often how do I scale the organization? So for us, hiring product and engineers is a real challenge. Scaling the organization structure, right? So when you are very small, you know, you can be almost have a kitchen table, right, that decides everyone, everything is known by everyone, and you can easily solve things. Once you get to a certain scale, we're now almost 800 people. You need to have organizational structures and processes, but you want to stay agile, right? You don't want to become corporate and all of that. So these, I would say, are the biggest challenges, these internal ones, hiring great talent, in particular in product engineering, and your organizational design, in particular, staying non-corporate, right? Because the last thing we want is to become like the people that you've been winning against, right? By being too formalized. On the other hand, you just cannot run 800 people on the kitchen table, right? It just doesn't work. So it's these sorts of things that we've been investing a lot of time on. And then maybe the third one that we've been found is very important to glue it all together is the culture. So we have a very, very strong data-driven one team culture. We call that, you know, member first. Those are our three values. And what's very, very important, so just to give you an example on the one team, we actually value if you go out of your way, right, to help someone that is not in your area, that actually gets valued extremely highly. We solve every problem with data. And in the end, we will never do anything that's against members' interest, right? And just making sure that culture stays is clear to everyone. And so on. That is a real challenge, especially as you grow with the speed in which we are growing.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And I guess, like in general, fintech can sometimes be a crowded space. I mean, I know we've talked about obviously competitors and other banks, and it's an ever growing space. So, like, I'm not an expert in fintech. You may have a different opinion or view on it, but it just seems like there's always fintech businesses popping up. Obviously, kind of maybe different solutions, but fintech seems to be an ever-growing industry. Do you find that that's like a challenge, or that kind of helps you along because it kind of excels you and drives you guys?
So I think, first of all, I think, you know, there's clearly always only the positive announcement. There are also a lot of people leaving the space, right? I think that's good for SMEs in the end, or for actually for consumers, right, in fintech, that we see a lot of dynamic in there. In general, for us, really, that the challenge is not so much more people. We're used to a very competitive environment. We actually think it makes us better, right, by having a lot of competition out there. Keeps us on our toes, and that's what we should do. We have also have the thesis that there will not be a single model that will win in the future, right? Because it's just naive to think, well, we had the universal bank, sort of Lloyds does everything, right, model in the 70s, and there will be one model in the future. If you look at any other industry other than banking, you always have choice, right? And therefore, I think different different consumers and different businesses will choose different models, right? Because they work better for them. And, you know, for example, if you're an accountant and you know all this accounting, probably Tide is not attractive to you, right? And if you really want to stay away as far as you can from finance and admin, just to take that, give that as an example. So we also don't think one model will win. And then last but not least, we actually have a lot of fintechs are our product partners. So we actually allow them to offer product on our platform. And so we actually welcome, right, more product verticals, you know, joining the market, because it gives us the opportunity to provide richer service to our members.
Yeah. And I think that's nice when it can benefit everyone. And like you say, I had never thought about it like that, but you don't always hear about the ones that are leaving the space, as well as obviously all these ones that are popping up. I think the fintech space is so fascinating. And as I say, it's definitely an industry that is going to continue in the direction it's heading in, I'm sure. Has COVID had much of an impact on the fintech space in general, and how did it affect you guys at Tide?
Yeah. So I think in general, you know, I think we always look like retrospectively on COVID. I'm not sure whether we're completely through with it, but for the sake of arguments, you know, what's the sort of halftime score, if you want to call it that? So I would say net, it has been very positive, right? So why? Because there's been an enormous digitization. So I think in SME, which clearly we're close, and we think we've seen an acceleration by 3 to 5 years. So let me give you a couple of examples of what I mean by that. Businesses, we really didn't have business owners that are north of 50 of any scale, because they would prefer the traditional model. You know, being faced with the opportunity of going into a COVID-infested branch, or, you know, making the plunge online, right? They decided to go online in their wisdom, and they're now not going back. So I can give you endless examples of people saying, look, this was the best thing that happened. And then, of course, the other, you know, real problem for fintechs was always cash, right? And the cash usage has just completely declined. So these two factors have led to huge drive in digitization. Secondly, the second really big driver, that's on the demand side, if you want. On the supply side, the real thing is investors are pouring tons of money into fintech. I mean, down to the level that sometimes I'm a little bit worried that there is too much money going into the sector. Because there's always risk of overheating and so on. But that's the other dynamic, right? So with the digitization plus the very strong investor demand has really moved things forward. And Tide is very much a microcosm of that, right? So we've gone something like 2.5x, depending on when you start and on which metric, in the, you know, during the pandemic. It's been, you know, from a pure business point of view, you know, very positive. Although, of course, right, you know, I would have preferred COVID not to have happened. And I know that this was a lot of tragedy for a lot of people. So it's not something we would have wished upon anyone. But, you know, in the final analysis, I think certainly fintech will have benefited from the COVID crisis.
Definitely. I think, you like you say, the digitization is the key thing there. Like, there's a lot of digital fintechs popping up. So then that would kind of explode it even more. Well, I guess what is next for Tide then? I mean, obviously, don't give me your deep, dark secrets, but have you got anything on the horizon that you guys can share, or anything that we can keep an eye out for?
Yeah, so in the UK, really, our big thing is we just will continuously and relentlessly build out the platform, right? So if you're a Tide member, people will see this. There are more and more features and things coming. I just said the exciting thing of going into acquiring, right, with a payments link. You know, we've upgraded our expense solution, our invoicing. Tide accounting will come. So there's a lot of great stuff that comes, and that will continue to drive through the next, you know, 2 to 3 years. There's an enormous product pipeline. And by the time we end up, it is already the richest platform, but we will go from this 20, you know, percent done to probably 80-90%. I don't think we'll ever reach 100. So that's one part. The other part is we're starting to look at internationalization. So we've announced that we're starting in India. So India is the largest SME market in the world. People often think of them as very, you know, non-digital, but actually the digital SME market in India is bigger than all of Europe put together, right? Just to put that into perspective, very, very digital, very, very future-oriented entrepreneur community and so on. So we're seeing very, very strong early impact. So we'll do that. And then, you know, beyond that, we have further international aspirations. So those are the two big strands, right? So really building out the UK, especially on the product side, and taking our first steps internationally.
Amazing. Well, I guess it makes sense because there's obviously startups and entrepreneurs all over the world, and we're starting to see more and more little hubs. You know, before it was London was a big hub, and I know the Nordic countries are a big hub, but there's just more and more entrepreneurs popping up all over the world, aren't there? So yeah, I guess watch this space for the rest of the world and see where else Tide can really conquer.
Yeah, we actually think, you know, there is a thing of, we call this the lifestyle entrepreneur. So when we did a lot of research, you know, we were actually surprised, and this is very different to the fintech growth story, right? So the lifestyle entrepreneur is much more people that don't have the aspiration to run 50 pubs, but are quite happy with one pub, maybe two pubs, and they just like being their own boss, right? Setting, being in charge of their own destiny, etc. And I think there is this the rise of the lifestyle entrepreneur who just like this lifestyle of being an entrepreneur. And that's clearly one that, you know, we are very, very keen to support. And so we do that with a lot of masterclasses and, information material to help people, you know, on their journey of realizing that dream.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting you say that, because I came across some entrepreneurs last week at an awards ceremony, and there was a lot that said they didn't want massive growth. They didn't want to take over and conquer globally or even nationally. They just wanted to stick to their little community and make a difference there and help there. And I thought that's really interesting, because normally when you see entrepreneurs pitching to especially investors or to win a competition, they have big aspirations and they want to do this, but like you say, the lifestyle entrepreneur is definitely up and coming.
Yeah, and I think that's the vast majority, and I think in a way many of the TV shows and, you know, the whole fintech scene and the VCs, they give this illusion, right, that success is only in scale, but there is success in lifestyle. Right. And I had the same thing. You know, I often talk to members, and I remember one actually now 2.5 years ago, where I said to them that they were actually running a pub. That's where I gave the example. And I said, look, and then we can support you with your second pub and your third pub. And then when you have the UK, and then maybe you expand having your pubs in Europe. And he said, look, Oliver, I have to interrupt you here. I'm never going to open a second pub. Right. I enjoy changing the menu, sitting with my guests in the evening, you know, being in charge. No one tells me what to do. That's what I enjoy, right? Realizing my dream of independence, you know, being able to live, you know, in the pub, so they had sort of their family home attached to the pub. So, you know, it's that sort of lifestyle. And I think in part that ought to be celebrated, right? Rather than this sort of view that the only thing is about building the next $1 billion businesses. That's not how the vast majority of businesses are. And in the end, a lot of these lifestyle entrepreneurs are actually making a huge economic contribution. So I think we believe at Tide that is something we should celebrate rather than create this illusion that the only success is in scale.
Right? Yeah, definitely. Well, I think we're going to see a lot more lifestyle entrepreneurs coming up, like you say, or kind of popping up in more locations. And obviously Tide will be there to support them. So thank you so much for being on the podcast today. And thank you for supporting all the entrepreneurs and small businesses out there that you guys do.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
Serial Entrepreneur.